It's another Friday afternoon. I am at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show with thanks to the Royal Horticultural Society. The butterfly dome that is at Hampton is literally one of the stars of the show. In my company today is...
Hi, I'm Anna and I'm an entomologist.
For the moms and dads and the Peter Donegans of this world, listening to this at home in the future and podcast, break it down for me. What is an entomologist?
So I study insects. So I work for the RHS, and so that means that at the moment I normally work on garden pests and garden wildlife.
So I'll go to the ladies in my life. Every single one of them is afraid of their absolute, for want of a better word, lives of spiders and creepy crawlies. Mm-hmm. However, in the, let's put a line down the middle, there are the creepy crawlies, so to speak, let's call it that for the minute. And then there's the prettier things that everybody loves, which are essentially, in this case, the butterflies. That is also, I guess, therefore part of your remit.
Yeah, absolutely. So both the, I'd call the butterflies maybe a little bit more glamorous than some of the other creepy crawlies that we deal with, but I love them all just as much.
We'll take this on two levels, and we'll get to the butterfly dome in just a minute. But you are, and I know I've been in trouble for this before for asking a lady her age, but you are extremely young. Can I ask you what age you are?
I'm 26.
So how, number one, does a 26-year-old, let's backtrack, end up studying entomology? And then number two, end up being employed by the Royal Horticultural Society? Because to be fair, you couldn't ask for a better employer. It's a real stamp of approval on your qualifications and your skills.
Absolutely, it's a dream job. If you're interested in what I'm interested in and also in plants and stuff, yeah, you couldn't ask for anything better. But I've always been interested in, well, all wildlife, but all creepy crawlies as well, especially. And my parents tell a story where they took me to London Zoo when I was very young, maybe two or three, at great expense. And they were, you know, pointing out the elephants and the tigers to me, and I was just interested in the ants on the ground. But since then, I studied at university, studied zoology, and while I was there, I worked in a butterfly house that was just next door, and that really made me sure that there was nothing else that I wanted to do.
I've got a 6-year-old daughter who, I've said before, looks like the lead singer out of Led Zeppelin, and it's that hairstyle, crossed with a slight bit of Angus Young, I should add, for the AC/DC fans of you. But I'll go back to it. Every girl, lady I know who, let's call it, likes to drink Pimm's or the equivalent of, would run a mile screaming at a very high decibel level should they have seen a spider crawling next to them. When you were growing up as a younger girl, did your friends think you were a bit odd, nutty, when you called around to your mates' houses? Did you get that, oh my God, it's oh my God, she's...
A little bit, I still do, I think. Yeah, I was always the one that would not be scared and put bugs out and stuff like that at the window. But my sister's quite afraid still. She's a lot better now, but she doesn't even really like butterflies too much. And so she does come and see me at work sometimes, but it's very brave of her when she does.
So let's go a different place then. Let's go straight to Hampton. I walked into the butterfly dome, which, for want of a better description, if you can't see this and you want to see it, at Sideshow on Twitter, there's a video up there, and I'll try and get it up on YouTube. It is absolutely stunning, and I think when I came out of it, you were talking to Mark Straver, a former guest of the show, and Jamie Butterworth, also former guest of the show, and I said to the lads it was like a bat swooping in, but they were also very elegant and extremely beautiful and extremely large. And bearing in mind, this is an installation, this isn't like a zoo thing that is there full time. How long does it take to put this together? How does it all work?
So the dome's probably been up around 4 weeks, something like that, it's taken to put it together. It's actually, the planting was completed really early compared to a lot of showgrounds that you might see. Actually, probably 2 weeks ago, the inside planting was finished. And the reason for that is because we wanted plenty of plants in there for the butterflies for when they came in, which was, they started emerging probably around a week and a half ago, to be able to feed on and for them to feel at home. So we wanted it to be flying at its absolute best now, which is why we sort of started early, I guess.
There's a lot of parents and a lot of people who haven't been able to get to Hampton, and I'll double underline this. This is literally, I'm so privileged to have been able to come here and see something that you have created and made. It is awe-inspiring. And I know we've all seen a butterfly here or two, but this is something literally that I can only describe out of a princess cartoon that maybe my daughter might watch. It's unbelievable and extremely difficult to explain. For those at home, and we've had the Green and Grey Britain campaign, and let's call it just that for the minute, there's a better emphasis now on and a better education and a better understanding and a better availability of that information of how to attract those nicer insects rather than the creepier, crawlier insects into your garden. How, for those listening at home with a small space with a window ledge, does somebody do maybe a small 1% of what we have seen here today?
So yeah, it's totally doable even with that. I don't have a garden. I garden with sort of 3-tier window boxes outside my front door, and I still get bees. Yet to see a butterfly yet, but I'll have to keep a lookout. But what I've done is used a lot of plants from the RHS Plants for Pollinator list, which is actually, we've got a lot out here as well for attracting native butterflies outside the dome, and that's a really good resource that you can go along and you can see when you want flowers in your garden. It's split into different time periods, so you can try and get your garden to, or your small space, your pots, to be flowering for as long in the season as possible, and that's really great for pollinators.
Let's go to the dome again if we can. How many butterflies are in there, just for those who aren't aware?
We stopped counting at around 700. I reckon we've probably got definitely more than 1,000, maybe 1,500, something like that, flying at this moment.
And how, and I know the answers to this one, but for those who aren't aware, how does this go together? Because obviously you can't go out with, you know, that cartoon kind of a net, you know, and sweep up a whole load of butterflies. You'd be there forever and ever after.
So the butterflies arrive as pupa, wrapped in cotton wool, actually in the post, and then we, when they've arrived, we then take them and stick them, a little bit of glue, onto bamboo canes, and we put them in what we call a puparium, which you can actually see here. We've got them on show, so if people are lucky when they're visiting, they can actually see butterflies emerging.
Sorry, let's backtrack just to clarify this. The butterflies were put in the post. So twofold, explain to those who are not aware, and we'll assume everybody is at, everybody, well, I don't know, what do they see? I know it's pupa, imago, adult, essentially, is how the life cycle kind of works. Everybody would know that since they were 4 years of age. But what is a pupa for those who aren't aware?
So that's the stage in between a caterpillar and the adult butterfly. So the caterpillar sheds its last skin, and underneath that last skin as a caterpillar is another skin, which is a pupa. Inside that, the caterpillar tissues break down, effectively becoming sort of caterpillar soup, apart from a few groups of cells which are ready, sort of like stem cells in humans, ready to start rebuilding a whole new body using all that nutritious caterpillar soup, like from the ground upwards, to create the butterfly.
The next thing you said, just to clarify, and I know I can hear you at home saying to me, Peter, ask her the question, did you take out a tube of super glue and then stick them to bamboo? And I'm obviously mildly taking the mick here, but just to get that one clarified as well.
No, that's almost exactly it. PVA glue, bit of dab a bit and then stick them on. Yeah, it's all very high tech. But yeah, there's over 1,500 that have been glued here in the last few weeks.
That must be painstakingly, because these are the childlike questions in my head. And again, I know with red predatory red spider mite. So for those who aren't aware, you might be better able to explain this or better in better detail than I.
So that's an arachnid, so it's related to spiders. So it's got 8 legs rather than 6, which are insects, which for example butterflies have. And you can buy them as biocontrol. As I say, get sent through the post, and they can control red spider mite in your glasshouse.
So when I was in college, I remember in particular with tomatoes, the red spider mite infestation would always come in whether you liked it or not. It's just what happens. It's a bit like the lupin aphid. So long as you have them and they're juicy, they're going there. That's just the way it is. But then they used to bring in the polystyrene boxes for transporting blood samples, let's say. Mm-hmm. They take out this yellow card and they'd stick it up on a piece of string, and all of a sudden temperature clicks in. The red spider mite, literally the egg, essentially turns into a grown-up, let's call it that, and it runs like a cartoon character again up and down the stems and just eats itself to death. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, and they can be really great to control red spider mite in your glass houses.
Well, it's biological control, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
In the butterfly context, is it transported, delivered, and essentially done in the same way, but the pupa, the egg, is a little bit bigger?
Similar, yeah. So, wrapped in cotton wool through the post. Yeah, fairly similar.
Why cotton wool?
To protect them, they're quite delicate.
Okay. So when you take them out of the cotton wool, you then put a little dab of the glue on it.
That's right.
You stick them to the bamboo.
Yeah. And then you have to wait for them to dry, of course, which can take some time. And of course, the pupae actually wiggle, so they're not as dead as they look, effectively. In the wild, they will wiggle maybe to deter predators, something like that. And so that can be a bit awkward when you're trying to stick them and they're sort of thrashing about in the glue.
This is going to sound like it may be a silly question, but how many colours did I see in there? What sizes did I see? Because some of them, you know, a standard native, let's say Irish butterfly or a UK butterfly, as we would know it, is maybe about the size of, no greater than my thumb maybe when it's folded, if that makes sense, but they're a lot bigger inside.
Yeah, round about, I don't know, size of somebody's hand probably in there, some of the bigger ones. We've got more than 30 species, and actually some of the species can come in lots of different, a couple of different colour forms. So number of colours, you've seen a lot is the answer.
Because I know Kitty, she'd put out some amazing videos, and do you get kids that in particular, or the grown-up children who are my heights and about my age, walk up to you and just like want to give you a hug? I mean, it's just so freaking beautiful, it's unreal.
I'm so glad you like it. Yeah, we've had loads of really nice comments, and yeah, hopefully it will inspire people. They won't see these butterflies in their garden, but with some of the planting we've got outside, might inspire them to plant up a bit to help some of our native butterflies.
Okay, well, let's go to that then, because the one thing that I see over and over and over again is this whole idea that you're supposed to go out and plant a buddleia in your garden. And for me, if I'm on a double-decker bus going through Dublin or London and I see buildings that are, let's say, slightly derelict, in the top of the chimney stack with a wasping blue flower coming out the top of it is guaranteed a buddleia plant. And it's on the verge of knocking down the chimney stack. It's grown in between the cracks in the paving. Mm-hmm. I think I passed by one of the train stations on the way here yesterday and it had 2012 Britain in Bloom finalist, and understandably so, and very beautiful. But you get about a half a mile out and then you start to kind of evolve into the buddleias, where they've managed to find themselves a very like the lupin aphid. Mm-hmm. They literally find a spot where they can thrive and grow as plants rightly should do. That's no disrespect to the train station at all in any way. But surely there are a lot less vigorous plants like that available that one can do, or again, like you said, if you're on a three-tier window box system or a balcony, or you're 7 years of age and you want to do something for your little Johnny or Mary at home to hopefully attract in some of these things, what's the basic steps for that? What do you do if you're 5, 7, 10 years of age and you're listening to this at home and you want to do something, you know, now?
Yeah, I'd really recommend going on the RHS website and having a look at that list, because there's loads of great things in that. But planting flowers for as long as so they're blooming for as long sort of sequentially as you can, leaving fruit at the end of the season sometimes can attract butterflies to your garden, because they come and feed on the sugary water in the fruit. But actually, probably the quickest and easiest and sometimes the nicest thing to do to attract butterflies to your garden is plant some cabbages. Then you, as long as you don't want to eat the cabbages at the end, you're providing a food plant for the caterpillars of the large white and the small white butterflies, and then you can watch them lay eggs, the caterpillars sort of develop and grow and feed, and then pupate and emerge in your garden. So
because I know where I am, and I had a I'm almost used an expletive there. I promise you I won't, but it's more out of frustration, if you understand me. And if you've ever grown cabbages before and seen them literally annihilated, the cabbage white butterfly, there is a male and a female. I have that correct? Yeah, I do. And there is a large and a small. I have that correct as well. Okay. So which one lays their eggs on the underside of the leaf?
Both the large and the small white will lay on the underside of the leaf of cabbages.
But do I remember correctly that one is slightly, the egg shapes are slightly different. Have I got that correct?
Yeah, so all butterflies have slightly different egg shapes, and if you can look closely enough, some of them are really cool actually. So some of the blues, so like the holly blue, that you might, it's another good garden butterfly, has almost like sea urchin shaped eggs.
I always thought that the cabbage white butterfly eggs reminded me of this is going to sound really odd, I apologize for my brain here. They almost reminded me of little bits of luminous yellow icing, as if you were icing a cake kind of thing. But to attract those into to an everyday garden, I kind of can't see really people that doing that unless you got an area to go a little bit kind of, you know, nuts with, if that makes any sense. For the 6-7 year old, one plant, you want to plant it in the morning, that's not cabbage, that looks a little bit sexier, let's call it that for the minute. Give me your top favourite.
Such a hard one. For butterflies, for bees, I'm really syrinth at the moment, I'm loving. For butterflies, I'm not sure, there are too many, I can't decide.
And as regards the, and this is something we spotted in the dome as well, there were oranges turned upright around, is that the whole thing? Is that what you're supposed to do, eat the orange but hollow it out, so to speak, and then leave that there? Is that the best thing to do at home?
So leaving fruit under your tree can work and attract butterflies. Some are more likely to go to fruit and some are more likely to go to flowers, which is why in the butterfly dome, because we've got both types of species, we have both fruit and the flowers.
Is there anything else that you have in there that I missed a trick on that would attract them in?
So we've got pentas and lantana, which are both quite nice but tender, but nice, like patio plants for pots. No, I think that's pretty much everything.
Listen, what can I say? It's been a real genuine pleasure. Thank you so much for talking to me and taking the time. If people want to find out more, literally, if you're looking for the video and a few links on this, that's Odd Show on Twitter. We'll pass them on. In the meantime, I are you directly available? I don't mean people are going to phone you up in the morning, but are you on the Twitter thing?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm on at Anna Platoni. AnnaPlatoni.
Anna Platoni, thank you so much.
No problem.
And that was Anna Platoni. Thank you so much to Anna, to Ed Horn, Dave Green and the entire of the crew at the Royal Horticultural Society for being so very generous to me. Gentlemen, ladies, thank you so much again. To my mate Ben, who put a roof over my head. He's an upcoming guest on the show. That wasn't a barter, as by the way. It's just another fascinating day in the world of Peter Donegan's head. And it's just how the sideshow rolls. And it is one to look forward to. Midweek, as by the way, we had the gentleman from Bosch on the show. It went out as a Sideshow Extra. You'll get that on iTunes and it's also up on sideshow.com. And it was a two-parter. So you got one last week, midweek. And you got one this week, midweek. And normal service shall resume in about a week's time, which is essentially just one a week. We're putting you back onto normal rationing of listening to me. Lucky you, says you. If you wanted to get a taster, as noted, mid-show, of the Butterfly Dome, if you head to sideshow.com and just put in Anna and, I don't know, Butterfly or Anna and RHS, it'll come up for you, or just Google Anna RHS and Sideshow, SODSHOW, all one word. We claimed the Sideshow Instagram page. I couldn't believe it was still available. I know, yeah, we're kind of moving with the times, technology and all that kind of stuff. Right, I should probably stop babbling. In the meantime, whilst you're heading off on your walk around beautiful London, beautiful Dublin, admiring trees with me in your earbuds, you're jogging up the M1 or the N7, thank you so much for listening. If you want to do anything for the Sideshow, it's really simple. Hit us up on Twitter at Sideshow. Tell us you like the show. Give us a follow on Instagram. We're also on the Facebook. We're De Sideshow there because Sideshow is already gone. And you'll get this and about 5 years of the back catalogue up there as well. Also in iTunes, where you can give us a wee rating and review. We don't ask a whole lot, unless you're Sean Conville, in which case, Sean from Two Spots Coffee, we've just run out. Seriously, dude, we're struggling here. Send it on. We finish out with a little bit of Tom Petty. Catch you next week. Take care. Cheers for listening. And have a great weekend.